Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth
drama. Smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. Of course, I want you to holler at me, and the call-in number is 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you're a little afraid to call me, I understand, but I don't. But I do wish to hear from you, so you can email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, you want to holler, I want to listen. You got a question? I want to answer. You got some concerns. You got some criticism. I'll talk about it. Now, be warned, of course, like the idiot from last week that was in the chat room and idiots before them, I will warn you that, hey, I'm serious on the show. I mean, I'm going to have some fun, obviously, but I'm serious also, so if you're trying to just jump in and say something stupid, I'm, of course, going to retaliate, and you're probably not going to like me talking about you being in the alley and me smacking the dick out your mouth. So, if you don't want that, you know how to approach me. Approach me with respect, and I will approach you back with the same respect. Anyway, social networking. I'm everywhere. Smooth Drunk, except for Instagram. I'm sorry. I am not the I'm going to take a picture every 3 hours type of guy. You know, it's just not in me. So, if y'all like, you know what, Smooth Drama, you need an Instagram, maybe. But then I'll be forced to, like, take pictures of pubic hair and look at the hair on my chest. Here's a nipple. I mean, I just can't see me taking 500 pictures of me smiling 18 different ways. It's just not going to happen. Oh, look, it's Smooth Drama picking his nose. No, it's not going to happen. Snapchat, bam, there you go. Finger in the nose? Nah, probably not. But Facebook, Twitter, you know, if you're looking for me somewhere, Smooth Drama, you'll find me, and I'll holler. In the meantime, shout out to my recovering co-host, Mr. J, who is still out there recovering from his vagina-eating accident. You know, cautionary tale to all the fellas listening. If you're going to eat the vagina, there's a certain way, and you have to have that conversation with your girl, like, hey, you can't squeeze a certain way because you may break my neck, like what happened to my co-host, Mr. J. Shout out to Mr. J recovering and being a trooper. I mean, he's out there, and he's still going strong, broken neck and all that. That's my dude, big brother. I got you. I know if he's ever listened, he's like, you know what, man, I'm going to kill you. But you're not because you're too far away and your neck is broke. You can't chase after me. Anyway, I'm going to apologize beforehand if I'm a little hostile. I was, as some people say, feeling some kind of way. When I got off work, I was like, you know, I was feeling it, and there were certain things that was on my mind. So I'm apologizing before I even get started. If you get offended, you know, not that I'm talking about you, but you're probably on the wrong side of the issue, but I'm not going to go there with it. Now, starting off, I like facts that just other folks just don't think is important because they're not important, which is why I talk about them. But this one is kind of, and it's one of my pet peeves, pedestrian deaths. Now, their little report, 2015 report, where they say pedestrian death may have risen 10%, which is, according to U.S. reports, one of the biggest increases on record. Now, they say it's possibly boosted by motorists driving more due to cheaper gas and drivers and walkers distracted by cell phones. And this is from a highway safety group. They said that. But for me, well, before I go through all that, they say that pedestrians now account for about 15% of motor vehicle crash deaths versus 11% a decade ago. And this is the governor's, and it's a nonprofit, Governor's Highway Safety Association. Now, for me, it's a bunch of idiots, quite honestly, who walk across the street without looking, just jump in the street without looking, because obviously these fools think they have bumpers, which you do not, but you think you do. And so we're talking about the first 6 months of last year, 2,368 pedestrian deaths recorded. Now, that is 2,368 pedestrian deaths too many, obviously. And you know, there are of course going to be some where it was some fool in the car that was driving drunk. But we know there are a lot of people who cross these streets without looking. And to you, I say, get your ass up out the street. You don't have bumpers, homie. Even if you got a big ass, you got that extra car gonna hit you, and it's gonna be a wrap. Stay out the street. And in the middle of staying out of the street, a guy that I can't help not talking about, everybody's favorite black man, O.J. Simpson. I don't know if y'all heard O.J. Simpson is in the news again because there was supposedly a knife that was buried and is now tested. Is being tested. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So what happened is they're examining a knife that was reportedly found at the former home of O.J. Simpson. Supposedly, forensic investigators are conducting DNA tests on the blade, which was recently turned over to the LAPD by a retired motorcycle officer, Lieutenant Andrew Neiman says. And he was given the knife by a construction worker who in turn claimed to have found it on Simpson's property. I'm not going to go over the O.J. Simpson thing because y'all know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to say this. For all the people who come up with this, y'all can suck a donkey dick pulling this out their ass. You know, of course they got some nasty bastards like that. Shout out to Richard Gere and his gerbil. I mean, that's kind of funny. But I digress. Anyway, you know, making me have to defend OJ. And, you know, OJ is, to me, the dumbest black man on earth. Just in case you forgot, you don't understand, let me lay it down flat for you. OJ is the only black man in America, I'm going to remind you, to publicly get away with murdering white people. And his ass murdered two, allegedly. Now, for historical reference, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rosewood, Florida, how many Emmett Till, how many countless people accused of whittling, raping a white woman? I mean, Emmett Till, countless other situations where black folk were alleged to be looking menacingly or whistling at white people, white women in particular. So when I say black men and dumbest in front of OJ, and I say on earth because I'm speaking in Yoda, black men, dumbest on earth, OJ. That's the picture in my mental dictionary. Y'all like my ear? Anyway, come on. They bombed Tulsa, Oklahoma. Killed damn near everybody. Think about that shit. Rosewood, not to be confused with that show on TV, Rosewood in Florida, killed everybody. In the movie, a couple of folks survived. I mean, well, they had the one hero black guy, but that shit didn't happen like that. They all got. That's my point. I'm just saying. They're trying this out on OJ, pulling out a knife that was allegedly found in his former home, in his yard of his former home. And it's like, one, you got me having to defend OJ, who is the dumbest black man on earth for reasons I just stated. And the fact that you got a knife that somebody said they found, and it's like, get the fuck out of here with this bullshit. I wish that you would defend the folks, or you would look into the evidence of folks who are obviously innocent. You know, a lot of these black men and women who are in jail, and the evidence is corroborated that they are innocent, but their ass is still locked up. I wish you was that diligent, but you're not. But I'm going to calm down here. I'm going to go back and be a nice, fun-loving guy again. I just had to get that out. OJ, people attack OJ, making me have to defend OJ and people like OJ. Anyway, Aaron Andrews, because I'm moving on. Aaron Andrews, the sportscaster, ESPN, she won $55 million because this guy was spying on her and took pictures/video of her naked in her room, because he drilled a hole in the hotel room next to hers so he could do it. Stalker style. And, she was like, I was violated. And she won $55 million. And in the hotel, their defense, hey, this made you famous. And I'm like, that's it? That's the defense? Somebody taking pictures of you, unsolicited, I may add, and posting them on the internet. That is traumatic. I mean, especially when you're talking about your professional life on the line, as a woman especially. You know, that shit gets out, oh, she was naked, it's kind of it for you. And, you know, you got the kids and all this other stuff. So I understand. But what makes me mad is I'm like, man, I've been showing my dick to people for free for decades. You telling me I could have got paid? I'm sorry. $55 million? I'm like, I need a stalker. Who wants to stalk me in the hotel, drill a hole in the hotel room, and take pictures of me naked and post them on the internet to go along with the other naked pictures of me on the internet? Oh, there are none, allegedly. Anyway. I'm like, man, I didn't show my dick for free all these years, and I could have had it set up where I, bam, you know, I can get on stage, on the seat. My life, and, you know, my grandkids and my nieces and nephews, they gonna see it and be like, as my papa is naked, as my papa is naked, it's gonna traumatize the kids, it's gonna traumatize our relationship, we're gonna be dysfunctional forever. Anyway, so, to my fans out there, please, if you want to help a brother out, I'm going to Emerald City Con. I'm going to be at an undisclosed hotel, which I will tell you, if you agree to stay in the room next to mine, drill a hole in the wall, take a picture, and post it on the internet saying this is Mr. F the N-Word from Smooth Drama, and then I will sue you and the hotel, boom. I'll take care of you. Well, hold on, I'm not supposed to say that on the air, am I? Well, I'll take care of you on the back end. You think I can get $55 million? Maybe it's $55,000? $5,500? I don't know. Anyway, I think I need to go on break on that one. Showing my dick for free. Anyway, this is the homies. The Hue, off their new album, Aurora 626.
Me talk thunder and shake up the sand. So if mama wake original man, then womp 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 and can understand. Then my mockingbird and come of man. No, no, it's from creation. No, no, hell from Houston. No, no, it's from creation. No, no, hell from Houston.
While I'm listening, laugh the brethren across the nation.
Not worth it, but it can't even fit. Couldn't work out, man. Left these type seismic shifts. songs like burner sticks. 6 to 6, niggas tagging on our shit. Like 6, 6, 6, not talking heightened inch. They pinch it to bite shit. 2 mega, so they done got 6, 6. My shit talking long double shifts. Medicine, Depakote, on the boat, methadone, Caribbean flow. Gotta put the 8 in your throat. Watch your tones before we low on the top. Never joke. Over time, they will see extreme heat. Wear a cloak, fire drill, clear the smoke flow. 6, 6, 6, leave me alone.
Yeah, that's that. Get yours to the ooh, to the blue side.
If you want to holler at me, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And as I stated before, if you're a little shy, hit me up on the email tip, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear them. And if you're listening live, feel free to jump into the chat room. Holler at me. I holler back, I will not bite you or nibble or anything unless you specifically ask for that. Even though some of y'all, if you ask me to nibble on you, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You don't put on the right lotion. Anyway, speaking of medicine, I don't know. A lot of people, maybe you follow tennis, maybe you don't, you listen to sports, follow sports, whatnot. Maria Sharapova, who is a star tennis player, being Serena Williams, being caught out there. She tested positive at the Australian Open for a drug called Neldonium, also known as Mildronate, Mildronate, whatever, I don't know, doesn't matter. It's drug, which is the Russian tennis star said she'd been using for 10 years for various medical issues. Now, of course, she made an announcement because it's been backlash. You know, Nike has said that they are suspending their involvement with her, which means basically if she's found innocent, hey, you still down with the team, and we'll give you some more money. But if she's guilty, nope. Now, she says she's been using it for 10 years, as I said earlier. Her lawyer, John J. Haggerty, he declined to, of course, go into the specifics, but said during the conference call he wanted to disabuse the concept that Maria took Mildronate every day for 10 years because that's simply not the case. Now, the company that makes it, they said that the normal course of treatment is much shorter. And they said, and I will quote them, depending on the patient's health condition, treatment course of Mildronate preparations may vary from 4 to 6 weeks. Treatment course can be repeated twice or thrice a year. Now, only physicians can follow and evaluate patients' health condition and state whether the patient should use Mildronium for a longer period of time. Now, what's the big deal? You know, supposedly, this drug, well, not supposedly, this drug, it aids oxygen uptake and endurance. And several athletes in various international sports have already been caught using it since it was banned on January the 1st. And so, you know, this was something that was regularly given to Soviet troops in the 1980s to boost their stamina while fighting in Afghanistan. And so it's normally prescribed for medical use for periods of 4 to 6 weeks. Now, for her to say, I've been using this for 10 years, it's for your heart. Now, of course, she, you know, she won't release her medical records because she's saying that, hey, that's private. But this is a very public matter. Because obviously, it's a banned substance. Now, of course, she's going to say, well, hey, I've been taking this since 2006. And it wasn't illegal when I started taking it. You know, and she's right. But she knew. I mean, it's just they finally caught up to her. It's like this. She's been cheating for so long and using something that folks hadn't caught, the testing people hadn't caught, where it was like she forgot she was cheating. She had been cheating for so long. But facts are in. She's caught. Now, I bring this up because if it was Serena, you know, it would, I mean, because Maria Sharapova is advertised all over. She's got a lot of advertisers behind her. As I said, Nike and quite a few others. Now, we know if that had been Serena, you know, that shit would have been on Fox, ABC, CBS, TMZ, and WB. Every channel would have jumped on that. It would have been all week just cycling through all the mainstream channels. Serena Williams caught doping. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew that was ham hocks. She was cheating. It's been all over. But Maria Sharapova, y'all ain't even really heard about it. You know, you can say maybe it's because she's Russian. You know, some people say maybe it's because she's Caucasian. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say maybe it's just because there's a media bias. And I'll leave it at that. But you know I won't, because we know it's a black and white issue. I mean, case in point, everybody remembers the Super Bowl last month. Cam Newton, you know, the big deal. Oh, Cam Newton. All Cam Newton was guilty of after he lost was being a sore loser. Like, shit, I lost. I'm mad. It happened. Some people can't take a loss. Yeah, he's the face of the franchise. He should have took the loss better. But at the end of the day, the worst thing that he did was he danced. He does a dance that I guess some people in North Carolina do not like. In all the parts of the country, they don't like it. And he gives balls to kids. Now, I bring up balls because Peyton Manning, the recently retired Manning, hell, it's come out, I mean, not only that he had been using HGH, which is a drug that's banned, illegal, everywhere, and not only was he using HGH, but supposedly, there was an incident at the University of Tennessee where he put his balls in the face of a trainer. Now, in his defense, he said, hey, I didn't put my balls in their face like that. I was mooning a homie. You know, and I thought, like, man, you know what? That could happen. You could be mooning the homie, and your balls could get in somebody's face. That is, if I mean, I'm not gonna ask my female listeners, but I'm gonna say to my male listeners, if you've ever mooned anybody, I mean, it's kind of hard to moon someone and put your balls in somebody else's face. I mean, I'm trying to think in the logistics of it. I mean, because somebody would have to. I mean, my scenario, the ideal scenario on that is like you're mooning someone right when the trainer was down there, like, I don't know, tying their shoes right in front of your ball sack. So when you bend over, it's like they just look up and bam, your balls is right in their face because you're mooning the guy across the way. Yeah. That's what could have happened, right? Conversely speaking, we know that if that would have been Cam Newton's balls in the trainer's face, I mean, it would have got out. She still might be licking on him, but it would have got out. No. I'm just playing. Anyway, I bring this up because, you know, obviously we know about the misrepresentation of black folks in the media. You know, and as a quote-unquote pseudo-media individual outlet, I like to point those kind of things out, those discrepancies. I mean, Gods of Egypt. I mean, y'all, I've ranted about this movie over the past month. It was coming out. If you don't know what the Gods of Egypt was, it was that movie where Gerard Butler from 300 and the other guy, I don't know what movie he was in, don't give a damn. Anyway, they played the white gods of Egypt, giant white gods of Egypt. When we all know, of course, the Egyptians were black. And so when they show, I mean, and this is classic Hollywood, the people in charge the Egyptians are white, and the other people who look up to them are black. Gods of Egypt only made $43.2 million. They're calling it a flop because they made it for $140 million. And supposedly Lion Gate was hoping that this was going to kick off a franchise. They were going to just like expand it. It's like, do they not know? I mean, is it that bad where, and see, I think what's happened is this. They look at like Marvel Comics, DC Comics, they see the superhero movies and they think, well, shit, they got superpowers and it's fantasy and they're doing record numbers, so this should do it. But they just keep forgetting there's one thing that is not going to happen. We are not going to go see that shit. Black folks still refuse to submit to, hey, all our historical characters are white, and we're going to watch that. Even when it's sci-fi, we're not going to watch it. Even when you fake the history, when Exodus, Gods and Kings, that movie made $268.2 million. They only did $65 million here in the U.S. Now, it may tell you one thing, $268.2 million, they did very well. But $65 million here in the United States means that only white people, and I'm guessing there were some other non-white people who went and saw it, but for the most part, I'll take a guess, educated guess that 90-some percent black folks just refused to go see it because there was nobody that looked like them, but you're saying it's Egypt? Because they made $203 million worldwide. I mean, it was cool worldwide, but here in the U.S., got no love from us. Because we refuse to let them, you know, sell our history inaccurately. I mean, they do that enough, but as far as going to pay money and watch it, hell no. Get that shit out of here. I mean, it's bad enough. And I'll say, you know, we know Michael Jackson is being played by some white guy whose name I refuse to say ever again. I said it once. I regret that I said it. But, yeah, this white guy is going to play Michael Jackson. And I just say this. In comparison, what would have happened if Idris Elba would have played Braveheart? That movie would not have done well. If you don't know what Braveheart was this, I believe, Scottish guy. You know, William the Brave or something like that. Played by Mel Gibson. Good movie. You know, heroics and all that. But if Idris Elba would have done it, that movie wouldn't have done well. I'm going to take a guess that Idris Elba as Braveheart would have had Scottish folks and people here in America turning over in their grave and they ain't dead yet. And maybe if you don't understand that one, just imagine Wesley Snipes, since Michael Jackson is being played by some white guy, let's say Wesley Snipes plays Elvis. Let's have that talk in the studio. Yeah, I'm thinking of casting Wesley Snipes as Elvis Presley. He can get away with it. Probably wouldn't get out of the studio. You might get shot in the pitch meeting. They might not even shoot you. They might just like strangle you with their hands and then do it they used to do back in the days and cut body parts off and put them in the jars and save them, which I'm sure they probably still do, but I'm digressing here. But yeah, think about that. Wesley Snipes is Elvis. Idris Elba is Braveheart. wouldn't happen, folks would be bursting into flame if that was proposed. So when gods of Egypt and gods and Exodus gods and kings, they flop because you keep doing the same thing, trying triggers, and we not going to see it. I'm thinking that's what we're going to have to do. We have to make a JFK movie. With like Ice Cube's son is JFK. See if that movie does well. We do Ronald Reagan movie, and it's gonna be starring Danny Glover. See if that does well. Probably not. Oh man, and just talking that craziness just means I need to go on break now. So I'm gonna go back in time a little bit. This is a Tribe Called Quest. One of my heroes, Stevie Biko.
Linden Boulevard, represent that Tribe Called Quest, represent when the mic is in my hand. I never hesitant, my favorite jam back in the day was Eric B. for President. Rude boy composer, steps to me, you're over. Brothers wanna flex, you're not mad Cobra. MC short and black, there ain't no smother. Plenty born bad like me, your mom's grandmother. Just fish out of all that, pipe your spittle. Honey, tell you man, it's show, or else you'll be a widow. Did not you know that my time's a top dollar? The five for the chance, and I can please off the collar. Hip-hop scholar, since me and the hatchet were duck. The height of Muggsy Bogues, complexion of a hockey puck. You better ask somebody on how we flip the strip. Come to a Tribe show and watch the three kids rip.
Represent, represent, a Tribe Called Quest, represent, represent. No theming of the style, cause it gets a rev rent. A Tribe Called Quest, represent, represent. Here we go. You know that I'm the rebel, throwing out the wicked like God did the devil. Funky like your grandpa's drawers. Don't test me, we in like that. You're dead like Sesame. When we coming through, get tickets to see me. We work for the paper, so there'll never be a beanie. Lyrics are abundant, cause we got it by the mad, mad. Egos are our idol, cause the music is the jazz band. I think I got it. Just move while I latch it. Right. Now I must move with the quickness. Here comes Chinese, so we must bear the witness.
Another one of them roles that Denzel Washington should have got before, but didn't. But I digress. I argued from a few weeks ago. Anyway, speaking of arguments, R&B singer K. Michelle says black women face a double standard in the music history. The former love and hip-hop Atlanta star, whose third album, More Issues Than Bold, drops later on this month. She says she faced pushback for her soulful singing style and found it tough to get her music played on top 40 radio stations, while white artists with similar music styles get airplay without hesitation. No! Radio wouldn't do that. Radio would not play a black artist, but would play a white artist who sing the same way. No. I mean, you know, she goes on to say that the Blue Eyed Soul era is here. And I'm like, you know, I've got the mixed feelings. I mean, I feel her. I like the soulful music. I'm a New Orleans cat. So, you know, we like that live music. We like the horns. I don't really care for nowadays trap music. I mean, just the fact that the musical style that you listen to is called trap. So I'm going to listen to something that can trap me. You know, traps are designed to capture you. Capture is not positive. Historically speaking, if I'm laying out a trap for you, the outcome is rarely good. So now we've got this garbage masquerading as music. It gets played. Now, you know, she pointed out that, hey, Adele was received singing the same style for her song Hello, but I put out, that's what these artists understand. I mean, you keep going to folks that don't love me. Sorry. I'm not catering to an audience that doesn't help me. I mean, see, as an independent creator, I mean, I created Smooth Drama because I was like, I wanted to have a voice, and I couldn't express my voice through somebody else's medium because they'd be telling me what I had to say, how I had to say it. So, I create my own space to speak to who I want to speak to. If folks want to hear it, I'm here. And in all venues of entertainment, there are individual creators who are doing what you say is not there. And I'm speaking to you, the listener, right now. We're out here, and we love you. We put ourselves out there for you. We heard you when you say, hey, we want to be represented in this venue. So we created what you say you want, but you got to listen. You got to support. If you don't support the folks that love you, you can't complain about the folks that don't love you. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. It's, you know, K. Michelle, yeah, she has a point. But you're begging folks who don't care about you. Not gonna listen. I mean, yeah. I mean, you say, oh, the radio, but I'm sorry. Radio, you just, when you make music for the people and you put yourself out there for the people will support you. Because people like real music. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know too many folks that like, they like, I'm pumping that radio, man, because, you know, they be playing my jams on the radio. No, they not. It's rare that you hear that. I'm just saying. I mean, another case in point. I was talking about these terrible movies that represent and the people have spoken by not going to see them. Like, so you can keep throwing out that garbage and you're gonna keep getting the same results. Case in point, there's been a little outrage. Zoe Saldana has been playing, well, she played Nina Simone. And, you know, the outrage is like, you know, because she had to put on darker skin makeup to play Nina Simone, because Nina Simone was a dark skinned singer. And, I mean, Nina Simone's catalog was about my blackness and uplifting black folks. If you don't know Nina Simone and you're a black woman, I just say Google her. Listen to some of her music, because she did that shit for you. Before you was born, she did it for you. And if you was born as a little child, she did it for you. I mean, let's just look at some of the songs she sings. Black is the color of my true love's skin. Poor woman, I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. Chain Gang, Blackbird. I mean, those are pretty strong titles. And you know what? And you know what that is. You know what that is. Now, Zoe Saldana, I mean, she's a great actress. Hollywood, looking at it like, we put in an established actress, quote unquote, pretty established actress with a name, and hopefully that'll sell it. Because obviously, and this is an indictment on you, the audience. Your blackness is not enough. The pride in your blackness is not enough to sell the movie. I mean, because if you read up on Nina Simone, she's as airtight as you get. I mean, if you're a black woman and you can't get behind Nina Simone and her music, then yeah, you got issues. You got huge issues, because she's just talking about looking in the mirror and loving yourself. You know, and they talk about how she sacrificed her career and mainstream success in order to do what she did. But I'm like, what's the measure of success? I mean, because if success is just about how much money you make, if you're not rolling over in dough, they say that you sacrifice your success. And I'm like, well, you know, if you're comfortable, if you're making enough money to survive and be good and comfortable, and you get to sing what you want, and I mean, I think it's important that we recognize that she sung what she wanted to sing, not what somebody told her to sing. She sung what she wanted to sing. She was a dark-skinned black woman who all her songs was, once again, I'm looking in the mirror and I love myself. And she's saying to you, black woman, love yourself. Every Nina Simone song was you looking in the mirror, playing her song in the background, and her telling you how fucking beautiful you are. On GP. Doesn't matter what the outside world thought. Doesn't matter what some dude to say or some female to say. Nina Simone was saying, hey, you are fucking beautiful. Love yourself. Jump back, as James Brown used to say, and kiss yourself. That's what she was about. So, folks complaining, and I mean, I won't complain either way. I mean, I would just celebrate Nina Simone because her message. Now, of course, they, you know, you get an actress and she's got to put on basically blackface to play her. I mean, they could have just threw India Irie in there. But that's a whole other story. Because once again, Hollywood is about the name and trying to sell a package as opposed to just being authentic, which is the reason why I still haven't watched Passion of Christ, being authentic. I'm going to keep saying that every time I get a chance. Authenticity is bullshit when it comes to Hollywood and when it comes to the music industry and the radio. They don't care about authenticity. They just want to trick you into listening to some mindless or watching some mindless garbage, which you have the right to do. But at the same time, does it help you? Does it make you feel good when you're done? I mean, the movies, I remember folks clapping, and it's the one thing I agree with Marlon Karanga, when people were clapping at the end of Boys in the Hood when Ice Cube got the bad guy. And I'm like, that's just, we were clapping for black on black crime. We don't clap for supporting each other and calling each other beautiful. That's soft. I don't know if that sounds right or wrong, but that's kind of what happened. And on that note, I want to thank all my listeners for listening in. You know, this is another Smooth Drama production, going hard in the paint. You know, that's how I do behind the back, between the legs, pull back, dunk on your ass backwards. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.